From Delmonico Farm in New York, here's Max Tucci. Welcome to his table.
Welcome back to Welcome to My Table with Max Tucci. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I'm so glad that you're joining me for another episode of Welcome to My Table. If you tuned in last week, you saw a great show. My guest was Suzanne Bass, my executive producer. Yeah, that's what we're doing here. I almost said Max and Friends because that's what I've been saying for like 17 years. So forgive me if I slide into that. You know, this is still new for me, not podcasting, but the show Welcome to the Table. My guest today is the one and only, the internationally known from her roles on CSI Miami, and of course, nationally for her daytime appearances on All My Children and General Hospital, my best friend of 30 years, Eva LaRue. She's got a story. She's going to help you become aware. She's going to give you her story. I'm part of that story. There's a documentary out right now about her stalker of 12 years, her nightmare stalker. This story is so real. It's so raw. I'm telling you now, it's fucked up. That's the only way I could say it. So now's the time where I'm giving you the opportunity, because Eva and I are going to get to the nitty gritty of this real story that happened in her life. And that's still happening. If you have a stalker, you know what your body tells you every day. The fear that you live in, the sadness that you have, the fear that you don't know who's around you, who's after you, or who's going to get you. So please, 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 we're bringing this show to you today. Yes, there's a documentary. Yes, Eva's my best friend, but we want you to be aware. And we want you to know that there's help. Don't give up. Eva never gave up. And I'm going to bring her right onto the show because, you know, that's my girl, Eva LaRue. So without any further ado, welcome back to Welcome to My Table with Max Tucci. My guest today is the one and only, my friend, the Eva LaRue. Hey, Eva.
Hi,
we're
going to
bring you on right now.
I love you.
I love you. Eva LaRue, welcome to my table with Max Tucci.
Tucci, Uchi.
Girl, you have been on Max and Friends probably about a dozen times.
At least a dozen times. It's so fun to be here on the new incarnation of Welcome
to
My
incarnation.
Table. Well, and now you got tables. Table. You got two tables, two different restaurants.
We got tables at restaurants.
Like a dream and a you know, it was like a dream is a wish your heart makes.
La, yeah, exactly. My heart made a lot of wishes, and you know, yours did too. But you know, let's start with the genesis of our friendship, because not so many people know the story of how you and I first met.
Yep.
And it's a funny story. Actually, those that attended your birthday party, like, you know, however many years ago, I kind of gave the story about how I was sleeping one day and I wake up and my mother is screaming at me and saying, hold on, I got to get my Tom Ford candle into the picture. Not that he's a sponsor or anything, but you know, it smells good. You
know.
I mean, listen,
send you a
we're going to play a game later that's called Feed, Frolic, or Fun. And my frolic is totally Tom Ford. So that's why his candle's in this picture right now. But so going back to our friendship, my mother wakes me up one morning and says, you've got to come with me to the polo match because Eva, you know, she said, she said Eva LaRue Callahan is going to be there. And I go to my sister, you know, my sister, and I say, Nikki, who the fuck is Eva LaRue Callahan? She's like, she's the one from the Golden Girls, right?
Yes, one of them's name was McCallahan.
Rue Callahan. Yeah. Something to that effect.
Yeah.
Right. Rue McCallahan. Wait, let me see my notes here. Her name was Rue McCallahan from the Golden Girls, right? And so I'm like, why do I want to go see Rue McCallahan from the Golden Girls? So whatever, you know how I had to please Mama Gina. I got up, I got dressed, I jumped in my little red Mercedes, drove over to the Greenwich Polo match. As I pull up, there you are on a polo pony with a helmet and photographers. And I'm like, that's not the
in
Golden
like a
Girl.
Dress, I think. I don't even think I was wearing pants. They were like, get up on the polo pony.
I'm you like, had like a skirt on and a sweater and a helmet.
Yeah, exactly.
And from that moment, I was like, oh, okay, she's cool. But what was your memory of meeting me at that polo match?
Oh my, you pulled up in the cutest red Mercedes and you came out and you're wearing like this flowing orange caftan. You looked fabulous. Like you literally, you were a freaking vision when you stepped out of the, and
I was a vision of love.
And it was long before we had cell phones or
anything
or any of that. Nobody even, the only people who had cameras were people with big 5-pound cameras.
Paparazzi
And
cameras.
you looked like a slow motion TikTok like video, like the best of the Instafluencers stepping out of your car and in your flowing orange. You
Oh
looked
my
amazing.
God.
And immediately we hit it off.
We hit it
Immediately.
off.
You
Well,
swept me off that dumb horse and you're like, come girl, come. And you like grab me by the arm and you like swept me to the, it was
And
amazing. And we've been besties ever since.
from that memory, that was the first day I met you. John wasn't there yet. I mean, that day was like Stephanie Seymour was there, Peter Brandt was there, Chaz Palminteri and Gianna Palminteri were there, Margaret Hayes. Remember Margaret Hayes from Fashion Group? And
But
of course,
remember
Mama Gina.
also the one who was
Queen
the
Noor.
host was Prince was Queen Rainier,
Queen
Queen Rainia.
Noor. Queen Noor.
Queen Noor, that was it. Yeah.
Queen Noor. Yeah,
Queen
my
Noor.
mother had Queen Noor. This was for the
Yeah.
Montefiore Children's Hospital in the Bronx. And Eva
Yeah,
and her
it was
husband at the
amazing.
time, John, really like they gave their all to helping my mother build that hospital. But that first day that I met you, hey Suzanne, do you think my lights are really bright?
You're so
This is the second show, LaRue. We're just getting into the swing of
right.
things. But
Yeah.
I just saw myself and I look like Casper the fucking Friendly Ghost.
I probably need a little bit more light over here on my side.
There's
Let's
Eva's
see. There
boob.
we go.
So Suzanne's gonna adjust those lights because that's how we roll here on Welcome to My
Yeah,
Table.
bring them down though.
But no, there's like you can figure it out. So basically what had happened was we were doing this charity event. It was a polo match in Greenwich. John wasn't there yet. We did that photo shoot, I think it was Saturday. Sunday you came back for the luncheon. And
Yeah.
that's when you bought John. Oh, Suzanne, we're getting good with those lights. And you had John with you. And there was that big luncheon. And let's do this one too, Suzanne, because this one's killing me softly. And then Queen Rainier was there.
Yeah.
No, it was Queen
Queen
Noor.
Noor,
Queen Noor was
because
there.
Rainier came after,
Yeah.
right? She was the
She's the
daughter-in-law
beautiful
of
daughter.
Queen
Yeah,
Noor.
she's the beautiful
But they're both
daughter-in-law.
gorgeous. They're both,
Oh
yeah,
my God,
stunning. Those
stunning,
queens
stunning.
over there are
Yep.
legit looking. Yeah.
Those queens over there are legit. I mean, that's
Yeah.
a fact.
They're
But so
legit pretty.
they're legit pretty. And Stephanie was there, and Margaret Hayes, and my mother, and Chaz, and Gianna, and John was there.
Yeah.
John, don't we miss
John.
John?
And Elmo, like a
And
life-size
Elmo.
Elmo. Do you remember that? Because I have a picture of Kaya
No,
with Lydia
that was
Vasquez.
years later.
Oh,
That was years
okay.
later. That was
Got
years
it.
later.
Got
That's
it.
how
Okay.
long you've been there. And but what's interesting is that that day when you were sitting, you had to leave early. Do you remember this? Because it was the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
I don't
And
even
you were
remember
like,
that. It's
yes,
so
I
funny.
remember this. And you were like, you had to like leave early. You were bummed because you were like in the Puerto Rican, you were a feature in the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York.
Yeah.
And so, John,
I
we
didn't
miss
even remember
John.
that.
Yeah,
Oh, I love
John was the best. Tell us
you.
about John for those of, for those who don't know. There's a whole new generation that knows you now from this
Yeah. I mean,
documentary.
we
But tell us
started
about
together
John.
at All My Children, and we knew each other from before, but when we started working together at All My Children, it was like art imitates life, imitates art imitates life, and we ended up falling in love, and our characters fell in love first on the show, and our characters got married. Then we fell in love in real life, and our characters had a baby, and then we got married, and then we had a baby, and cut
Then your
to.
characters got into a fight.
Our characters got into a fight, our characters broke up, and in real life we broke up, and but luckily we stayed great friends for I mean, you weren't great friends in the first 2 years after you get divorced. We were not great friends. But after
Look.
that, we were he was one of my best closest friends until he passed 5 years ago.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that, the 2 years, whatever. And yes, he was your best friend. But the beautiful gift that you guys have created is Kaya. And his DNA is so much alive in her. Like,
You
I know
so
she's your
right.
daughter, but she
Yeah.
is mini John. I mean,
She
she really
really is.
is
She looks
mini
like
John.
him. She is
Yeah.
quick and funny and smart
She
and like
loves the
all the things.
Yankees,
She's a Yankee
right?
fan.
She's got
She
that little
loves
Punky Brewster
Eagles.
attitude a little bit.
Totally does. She's sassy.
She's,
She's all the
yeah.
things. Yeah.
So you and John had to go to that Puerto Rican Day Parade. And I remember saying, Eva, Fashion Week is coming up. Do you want to go?
Yeah,
So,
well,
like,
you called me a couple of days later out of the blue and you said, "Hey, do you want to go to you want to go to some fashion shows?" And I had never been. And I was like, "Yeah. Do you have it?" You're like, "Oh, yeah, I got this." You were it okay.
And how old? I was like 17 or 18.
You were like 17 or 18 years old. Yeah, like maybe you were just 18 years old. And I will never forget, you had tickets for a couple of shows, but you didn't have seats for other shows. And you dragged me to the front of a long line and you got in some publicist's face and you were like, Eva LaRue is talent. She should be on your list. Where are
That's
we? We're in
right.
the front
All my
row. And it was
children,
like,
ABC
oh, we don't
talent.
have her on our list. You're like, she's ABC talent. Of course she's on your list. And we were not on their list, by the by. And you literally walked us through and sat us
That's
in the
right.
front of in the front row of
But
every. It was amazing. I don't know if you can do that today, but
Fashion
man,
Week
you were
was different then because it was
there.
Bryant Park. The
Yeah.
security were like the best. You know,
Yeah.
and it's like once you know it's not like it anymore, but and you remember it. You know, it's not like today it's like a total shit show. Then it was like in
Yeah.
the Bryant Park, it was in the tents, it was
Yeah.
organized. And once you were
So
like
cool.
in and the security saw you in front row at other shows, they're like,
Yeah.
oh, that, and they and the security knew you. You know, it wasn't like
Right.
I'm bringing
They
in
were
some
all mature
stranger.
fans. It's, yeah, especially in New York, you know, because we shot in New York. I think there were so many more fans, you know.
No, listen, you're an icon. You're a television icon.
It was amazing.
You're a television icon. So that was like my early remembrance of you, the beginning, right? Where it was like we had this incredible friendship that started. And then, you know, speaking of the beginning, you know my beginning, obviously, and I grew up in Delmonico's for those that don't know, but your beginning led you back home later on in your life, back to California. Tell us about your beginning growing up in Norco of all places. Shout out to Norco, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to Norco for sure. I was born in Long Beach, California, and lived in that Orange County area for the first 7 years. And then we moved to Norco, and which is this little cow town, an hour and about 15 minutes southeast of Los Angeles. And there's no sidewalks in this. All the city ordinance makes sure that we only have horse trails all up and down every street. So it was an amazing way to grow
Is it
up.
still like that?
It's still like that. So you
Look
can
at
still ride your
Norco,
horse.
the city without sidewalks.
The city with only horse trails. It's
I
all
love
horse
it.
trails. So you can ride your horse up to the Jack in the Box, and there's a hitching post, and you can tie up and go in. And almost all the restaurants in Norco have a hitching post or an actual stall inside the parking lots. So you can ride your horse. Put your horse inside a stall in the parking lot and then roll up and get drunk at the local saloon, and your horse will get you home because your horse knows
Hopefully, because your horse knows the
how
way home better than you do.
to get home. Yeah, horse horses
But
want to
now,
get
listen,
fed. Yeah.
did you like so you did this?
Yeah.
Like, I
Yeah.
don't think I
This is how
ever
it
knew
went.
that you went to Jack in the Box horseback.
Yeah. This is how we grew up. It
Shit.
was
I know
amazing.
you did like you did barrel too, right? Like you did the
Oh,
barrel
yeah. So I
riding and
grew up
English riding.
more Western riding,
You did
and then when I got
Western.
into my teens, then I got my first hunter jumper,
Right.
and I
Well, then
started
you
riding.
became
Yeah,
sophisticated after your first commercial.
then after I, then I had yeah. But in the beginning,
But this is
we had
wild.
ponies, and we had pony carts, and that was my first mode of transportation was a pony cart. That's how I got all over town to see
I
my
never
friends.
knew this. And I've
Yeah,
known you like
I
30
didn't have
years.
a
Look at you,
bike.
Jack in the
Pony.
Box on the
Pony.
horse.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's related to Jane Fonda?
My mom.
So
My
how
mom.
is your
So
mom related? You're like
it's my
third cousins,
mom's
first
second
removed.
cousin. Yeah,
Your
it's my
mom's
mom's
second cousin.
second cousin and my third cousin.
So clearly acting was in the family because
Yeah,
Jane
clearly
Fonda's
acting
your
was in the
cousin.
family. And you
What
know
was
what's
your first act? I
crazy
got to know your
is that,
first
you know,
acting gig.
KJ, my nephew, his new wife,
Stop
Sabrina,
it.
is now working with Jane Fonda. She's like, I
With
haven't
your
told her
cousin.
yet, but we have like this 6 degrees of separation. And I'm like,
My
she's not going to know
God.
me anyway, so it doesn't even matter
So
if you do that.
your actress cousin, Jane Fonda,
Yeah,
but when as a child you
my
didn't know she was your
Emmy
cousin, or did you?
award-winning like cousin.
Did she know you like as a child, did you know she was your cousin?
I did. My mom, my mom, and she, they knew each other. They grew up
Okay.
together.
Oh my God, this is
He's
so
actually a
cool.
few years older than my mom because my mom used to get hand-me-down clothes
From
from
Jane.
Jane's mom. Jane's mom's amazing.
Did Jane get you your first acting gig?
No, she didn't even know me. She didn't
What
even
was your
know I
first
exist.
I
Yeah.
But I remember we were at an event somewhere, and you're like, there goes my cousin. Everyone's like, what are you talking about? But what was
Yeah.
your first acting gig?
My first acting gig was when I was 6 years old, and it was a Del Monte green bean commercial. And I was eat, you know, I had to eat all this. I Still don't like green beans to this day because I had so many green beans in that day. It was like, and I had this spit bucket because I was always having that and look so
Your
happy.
spittoon.
And then you have like this spittoon on the side because
Suzanne, grab my spittoon under the bench and bring it here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a
Oh,
memory.
You have one? Get out.
Oh, do I have one? So you're doing
oh,
tell me, keep going.
Your viewers can't see this, although I'm sure you're gonna show it in probably your opening
look,
clip. But
look.
Your barn is magnificent.
Look at that spittoon.
Oh, yep. Probably at the bottom of that are my green beans.
Are your green beans?
A whole lot of green beans.
That's what I love. That's what I love about show and tell with this barn is like I can always show
There's
and tell
nothing
something.
You don't have in there.
You know, speaking of, so my first, speaking of our first like things, my first satellite media tour, I don't know if you knew this, was for the California Almond Company.
Oh, I didn't know
and,
that.
Yeah, and I was doing this. I was in New Jersey, and we were doing, like, all day long with California almonds, and they're the best. And, like, 5 hours later, I have a handful of almonds, and I'm like, throw them in my mouth, crunch down, and crack my fucking tooth.
On camera?
Mm-hmm.
On camera? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. In the middle of SMT.
Oh,
and
my God.
And your face was my face. Look, and so that tooth, somewhere there, was cracked.
Oh, my God.
Not from the almonds. We love our California almonds.
We do
but
love
from
our
that
California
moment.
Almonds.
And
yeah.
So, and you know, like, you have, as you know, you have to go on. The show must go on. For you, tell me about the moment in your life when you wish the show hadn't gone on.
Oh, well, I would say at the point, I'm going to get real honest here.
Yeah, you're my girl.
I haven't really talked about this. So at the point where John and I were breaking up, mm-hmm. Kaya was like 9 months old, and I had just re-signed a contract at All My Children to go back for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really want to go back, not because I didn't love the show and I didn't want to go back and I didn't want to keep acting, but because she was only 9 months old and I wasn't really ready to, like, leave for long periods of time to go back to work. Mm-hmm. But John was kind of like pushing, go back, you need to go back. So I just signed a new contract. And within a couple of months, I caught him cheating with an actress on the show who's now on Young and the Restless. We won't say her name. I probably should say her name, but we won't say her name. But
save it for the book.
Yes.
Listen, one of my lines that I'm saying on this show repetitively now is what my editor told me from the Demonica Way, which is if everything is special, then nothing's special. So
yeah,
there's certain things you've got to hold on to.
This part before. I've never
yeah.
said this.
No, I know. And I remember what happened too.
Yeah.
Because the
then,
drama
that
was going on at those All My Children studios at ABC.
Dude, more was going on in the dressing rooms than you were even seeing on camera.
Right.
That is definitely going to be.
Soap dish. You might be like, soap dish.
Yes. Worse. Mm-hmm. More.
Worse.
More than soap dish could ever. Yeah. When
highly
all
sexually
the,
charged. Let's say
when
that.
All the usual suspects are gone and dead. We shall write.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me,
no, we're not going to wait. You're not
going to
wait. No. You're not waiting.
But me and Kelly Ripa and Sarah Geller and what we always talk about, what we'll
It's
write.
Going to be a trilogy. You're going to have three books in one.
Yes.
It's going to come a box
series.
Set.
It's
a box set.
Yeah.
The box set. You know, speaking of ABC, do you remember back, exactly, back in the day, Diamond Rich, what was his name? Richard. He used to call me Diamond Boy. What's
oh, yeah,
Richard?
Yeah. Yeah, Richard.
Like all these weird names are coming through my head. Richard, he was the coolest guy at ABC.
He was the best. He was hair. He was our hair department, head of our hair department. He was
remember
amazing.
When, let's give them some scoop at ABC, and then we're going to get into the documentary. But do you remember when Barbara Walters used to go from The View to the ABC like hair and makeup chair? And they're like, Miss Walters, you have to
You're
go
wrong.
That way.
You're on the
yeah.
way. They did a really, really good job of keeping her dementia under wraps.
Yeah.
And they really would just have her on good days when she was having a mm-hmm. good day. That's when they would have her on. And that's why she was missing a lot of days. And they had other people come in and sit in for her or guests sit in for her.
Including you.
Including me. And,
do you remember?
She was having a bad day. And so
they did
a really good job of keeping her till the end. And I'm sure that kept, I'm sure that helped keep her sharper longer.
Listen, nobody come after Eva because the truth is the truth. But look, You remember when you co-hosted The View and I called Graff Diamonds?
Yes!
Suzanne Summers, Thigh Master Suzanne Summers,
yeah,
was co-hosting with you, and we had like millions of dollars of diamonds.
Yes!
Tell the story.
So crazy. So you had this incredible connection. Like one of your great friends was at Graff Diamonds in Connecticut, in Greenwich.
No, in New York. That was New York Graff.
Oh, it was New York? Oh, I thought it was the Greenwich. Okay. Yeah.
So no, that was Betteridge. That was Eva Betteridge.
Oh, that was Betteridge. That's right.
Graff was like the diamond with the, they had security.
Insane security.
Tell the story.
And I'll never forget. I get asked to come in to step in and be a guest host on The View. And this is back in this 20 something years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, Max, you got to come with me. Will you come? And he's like, better than that. I'm going to get you dripping in diamonds for this.
Diamonds. Canary diamonds. They're going to sing.
Huge canary diamonds the size of my hand. They were insane. And like this huge necklace. I was so decked from, thanks, Graff.
Right. Do you remember, right? Graff, we need things for Eva for her next red carpet. But do you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Suzanne Summers had a huge ring on. And she was like, oh, and Eva's like, look at my ring. And she wouldn't even look at it. Because your ring was like so much better.
Yeah, although hers was not borrowed. Hers was bought. But like,
that's
but,
okay. That's all right. You know, the Thigh Master gets you nice things. So let's jump into DNA because DNA, and we're going to, I promise you, yes, there is a documentary we're going to talk about. It's not the highlight of this interview because he was my friend and we're going to get there. But DNA played a huge part of your life because I remember this clearly. And you had called me when you were leaving New York and you said, Max, I'm taking the biggest leap of faith to go back to California without a job, with a child, divorced, a working actress that now is not working. Mm-hmm. You're known by many people. And now you go back to your roots of California and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
tell the story when you got the call.
Yeah, how long will it be until I get another job? How long will I be able to support myself?
And you were praying hard.
Oh, I was praying hard and I was scared. And I was going through a divorce and I'm uprooting where I've been on the East Coast now for 10 years and I'm going to move back. And as much as I was going to be back in the family fold, I also knew that I had sort of been the caretaker of many people in my family at that point financially. And so my parents and... So I was scared and I ended up getting a call for an audition for CSI Miami and it was for a recurring at that point, not as a series regular, but as a possible series regular. And it ended up being dream come true job. I auditioned from New York and ended up getting the job like the next week. And luckily our executive producer was because at the time there weren't a lot of daytime actors ever making the transition into nighttime. There was this weird taboo about being a daytime actor that the crossover was like slim to none really. But our executive producer, Ann Donahue on CSI Miami, she was an All My Children fan. And so when I auditioned for the role, it actually helped me get the role, which was amazing. So, and then it turned into, went from recurring to a series regular the next year.
Yeah. And we had a lot of fun on that. Do you remember when Joey Buttafuoco was the caterer?
Yes. How weird is it? Not everybody will remember who Joey Buttafuoco is, but maybe.
But yeah, Google him.
Yeah,
but
Google him.
And then, you know, some names from the show. Eagle. Why do I remember Eagle? Who was Eagle?
Eagle was our director of photography. Yeah. Banner.
And then, of course, Emily Proctor.
Banner was like head of props and everything.
Mm-hmm. Emily Proctor.
Emily Proctor.
We Jonathan traveled Provo to Italy with Emily Proctor.
Yeah.
You remember when we all went to Florence? Yeah. Hey, Emily.
Hey,
my dream for this show is that one day you, Emily, and Eva, and you know, and Rodriguez, you are all at this table at the farm. We're going to make it happen.
Oh,
Suzanne,
no,
you're going to make it happen, right, Suzanne?
Yeah.
Suzanne gave us the thumb up. But so, you know, CSI, I know, was a huge part of your life. CSI, though, knowing you, propelled your fame into something that I don't even think you were prepared for.
Mm-mm.
You weren't, were you?
And as a matter of fact, you know, Sarah Geller, who you know, started together and all my children, but she went on to play Buffy the Vampire Slayer. When I moved back to California, she said to me, now that you're on a nighttime show, you better buy your house in an LLC, because then if you get a stalker, no one will be able to, they won't be able to trace your name to your house. And I was like, so I looked into that, and it's like more expensive to do it that way. It's a ton more paperwork. It's a real pain in the neck. And I said, no, I'm not, I'm sixth on the call sheet. I'm not first on the call sheet. I'm like, it's a huge cast. I'm new to the, no one's gonna, she goes, I'm telling you, buy it in an LLC. It's a whole lot cheaper to do that than to move. She goes, you don't want
to pause right there, because we didn't know this at the time when you were putting, because I remember when you got the house. What we didn't know was that somewhere in Ohio, there was a guy who was already following you, watching you, knowing about you,
and
knowing your moves,
with all my children. Yeah.
Obsessed with all my children, obsessed with you, and now you're even a bigger star, and now he's coming for you.
Right.
So let's go back to the first letter, because I remember you called me.
Mm-hmm.
But for the listeners and the watchers, when that first letter arrived and you opened it and you read it, what is, and you can say any way you want, what is the raw, real reaction when you opened that letter? What did you think?
I wish there were more descriptive English words because terror, fear, there's really not a lot of just other descriptive words around something that takes over immediately within seconds, takes over your mind, your body, your spirit, and your emotions, and you are no longer in charge of your whole person.
What did the letters say?
The first letters were really violent.
You know, we've done shows together. We've done shows. I mean, I've been with you on shows.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
weren't able to say things on the shows. But I want you to get real here, because we can, because this is not something that's like, oh, it's daytime, I can't talk about it. Tell people what he said. They were violent, raw, nasty.
They were violent, raw, and they escalated to worse.
Paint the picture.
So,
like,
they were
in your inner memory.
They were so depraved and so heinous. They were, I am going to make your life a living hell. I am going to hunt you till the end, till you're dead. Mm-hmm. I am going, once I get a hold of you, I'm going to keep you as a sex slave. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to kidnap your then 5-year-old daughter, and I'm going to hold you both as sex slaves. And then I am going to rape and chop up your daughter in front of you. Mm-hmm. And then I will chop you into the tiniest pieces. I can't wait to eat your flesh. I can't wait to gut you from neck to, you know, like, just on the most depraved, the most heinous, sickening things you can imagine for 12 years. It was all these letters for 12 years. And when you feel like you can't protect your child either, is, like I said, there, you know, maybe your viewers will come up with more words. I don't have.
There's
don't
no know. Way. This is your experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, more words around fear, you know?
No, forget.
Really aren't.
To say fear and terror minimizes the warpness. It minimizes the depth of the sickness
of this
incident. So this went on for 12 years. You and I were a part of this, because I remember we were going to the Emmys, and you were thinking maybe the driver is the stalker. Maybe the fan asking for
neighbor.
The autograph.
Right, the landscaper.
I mean, anybody, the landscaper. You had that one landscaper that we thought, is he the one?
Yeah, we thought.
But
oh my
here's
gosh,
what
he
I did. Witnessed. And, you know, through your media tour for this documentary, which is called My Nightmare Stalker, the Eva LaRue story, what people don't know and what I do is that your bravery, your courage, your commitment to protecting Kaya, it's going to make me cry, because you fucking, your ass, I don't know how you did it, I know those letters. I know the calls. I know how frightened you were. We fucking had guns in your house.
Yeah.
There was a time where we thought the door was opening.
Remember, you were at the house and somebody was trying to break in the back door. Remember, we heard somebody trying to break in the back, and I was like, "Oh my God, it's the stalker! He found the house." Like every time, it was like an intruder.
One step further to the stalker. The only way I can describe this is like when a mother bird takes her wings and wraps them around her baby.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
But you still don't instinctively know if it's enough. In the moment, you don't know if it's enough. Because if you end up dead.
Yeah. But instinctively, you took care of Kaya. The motherhood you had and the raising of Kaya was so unconventional, because at the beginning of the first 5 years of her life, she was so able to experience joy and love, and had a beautiful, I mean, Kaya still is beautiful, but had this like sparkle to her. Not that her light is any dimmer now from this experience, but it changed her. It changed her.
Yeah. Now
I saw the change.
Her glowing self,
How did you know to take such care of her? This is not something that mothers don't wake up and say, "Oh, today I have to watch that my daughter doesn't get raped and doesn't get chopped up." How did you do it?
It's interesting. It's interesting to hear you say the courage and the bravery and the strength, because when you think about the traumatic things that happen to people, not just me, but all the traumatic things that are happening in the world right now. We don't set out on our day every day when we get up to be strong, to be brave, or to be courageous. It finds you. Do you know what I mean? Because you just have to get up and go through your day and protect your child as you would, or as the world would have you do it, which was a more amped up, more hyper vigilant version of anybody else's protection of their baby, because the situation warranted it. So I never felt brave. I never felt courageous, and I never felt strong, not one day. I hear people say it, I love to hear it in retrospect, but I don't think anybody to be honest, it would be interesting to know if anybody in the moment feels brave, strong, or courageous in any situation, even a first responder, because you're just going A, on adrenaline, and B, on injustice, like you're fueled by injustice, like, you know what I mean? And you have to get up. You got to put your clothes on. You got to have breakfast. Yeah. You got to feed your kid. You got to get him to school. You got to go to
work.
And
meanwhile, while all this is happening, your hair is falling out.
My hair's falling out. My whole face broke out.
You weren't eating.
Chest in hives.
You were a disaster, but.
My intestines were jacked up. Oh, everything.
Do you remember how many homeopathic remedies you had?
Oh, my God.
That counter you had was packed because of it. And listen, we're not giving this man power over you by any means, because the reality is, you're not a survivor, you're a thriver, because you went through this situation, right? And you were like, you know what? Fuck you, whoever you are. You're not going to get me. You're not going to get my daughter. You're not going to get anyone that I love, and it's going to fucking come towards you. And let me tell you, I remember when I came to see you that time in California, and like, you were really bad.
Yeah.
Like, you were really bad.
Well, I only got to the part in my life where I could compartmentalize it and say, "Nah, I'm gonna thrive. I feel protected by God," and that only happened after insane fervent praying in those first 4 months, like thinking, "Oh my God, it could come from anywhere. It's all around us."
We went to Italy.
You invited me to your house in Italy. Now I know. I just want to preface this by saying, 13.5 million people just in the United States are stalked every year, and this is January Stalker Awareness Month. So 13.5 million people are stocked just in the United States. A minuscule amount of those people are celebrities. So
that's a fact.
What I'm about to say may not be very relatable, because not everybody.
No, it's not relatable at all.
Best friend who has a house in Italy that you can escape to. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
no. I mean, that's not relatable at all.
I have a best friend who has a house in Italy who said, as soon as you're on hiatus, grab your kid and come and stay for the whole hiatus. Stay for 3 months. Just get out so that you can have some peace, so that you can relax for once, so you can regroup, and that you can just put your mind at ease. And it was the greatest gift of all time, Max. And for so many reasons. But who knew that this was going to be the reason?
It's in the documentary. We don't even have to say it. We're not even going to say it. You'll have to watch the documentary to see what happened.
Max figures into this whole thing and
into
how
this whole picture.
Epiphany moment came from being at Max's house.
Yeah, but
huge
listen.
Epiphany.
What was really, I think, what we didn't even expect was that CSI Miami in Italy is aired 5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah.
Right.
And in prime time still.
Do you remember when we were in the center of Florence with you and Emily Proctor, and there was like paparazzi now showing up, and even at the villa at one point there was paparazzi there. But in the documentary, it's really My Nightmare Stalker, the Eva LaRue story on Paramount Plus now. You must watch it. Not for the sense of like, oh, I want to watch, you know, Eva's story, but for the sense where, yes, it's a fascinating story, but also if you're going through this, let Eva be the inspiration that there is hope at the other end. And it's a fascinating story. We're going to get into it very briefly because the documentary really speaks volumes of it. And I want people to watch it instead of, you know, we could spend all hours speaking about the documentary and how really it came out brilliant. It's an incredible, I don't say like an incredible story in the sense of like honoring the story, because it's not a story that I want to honor, knowing that, you know, my best friend went through this shit. But it's a story that I think when you watch it, remember Eva through the majority of this was a single mother. And if you're feeling like I can't do certain things, or maybe I'm failing as a mother, watch Eva in this story. Watch how she became the mother of the 12 years to really protect her daughter, and instinctively know that, really, did you know everything was going to be okay?
No.
You didn't?
No. I never knew it was. I'm still not sure it's going to be okay, because obviously he's out of jail. He went to jail already. Yeah. He's out already. And, you know, I don't know, as long as he's alive, that we will ever know what the ending of this is. We can only hope, and we can predict, but we don't know.
Let's take it one step further, because we don't have to hope and predict, because there's one quote that I know.
I'm going to live my life. I'm going to thrive. We're going to thrive.
No, you are. Yeah. Let me tell you. Here's why.
Up one side and down the other. We're not waiting for something.
No. And here's why also. Because there's something that I know you live by. And it goes a little something like this. And with thy love in my heart, all the world's afflictions can in no ways
alarm me. Yeah.
They're not going to.
You said that to me when it was first happening. I'll never forget. You said that to me, and it's a Baha'i prayer.
Yeah.
And
that love in your heart, babe.
Yeah.
With that.
All the world's afflictions can in no wise alarm me.
And they won't. Because look where you are now. Look where you are now.
It's been a road, man.
I'm excited for your future. I'm excited for a future. You know, and I know that there was a possibility of you being on Dancing with the Stars in Italy. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And so I think we need to recall them now, since you have, like, you know, a new documentary that's out on Paramount Plus, and be like, Eva LaRue's coming to Italy.
Because
then I'll come there too, and we'll bring the whole show on the road, Eva LaRue. We'll bring the whole show on the road. Listen, we've got to move forward. But has this, like, changed your relationship in any way with, like, relationships or friendships or romances?
No, but, you know, Kaya talks a lot about how, you know, for her in school, making friends, she had to always kind of gauge when to tell new friends that she had a stalker, because of course their parents are not going to be, you know, you feel like the onus, the responsibility of putting somebody in harm's way.
Yeah.
You know, putting other people in harm's way.
Yeah,
so,
well,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, the hard thing I think is that you really go through a lot of it by yourself, because when something lasts as long as 12 years and you just at some point feel like it's never going to get solved, you stop telling people.
Oh, let the we don't have time for the solving. You're going to have to watch the documentary.
Oh, the solving
but
is good.
Also, not only is the let's leave it with the solving is good. Okay, we got to play. We got to play a game. We got to play Feed, Frolic, or Forgive. Who are you feeding?
Okay. Who am I feeding, or what am I going to feed myself?
No, either way. Who are you
feeding? What am I going to feed myself? Okay, if I'm not feeding myself Chuchi's meatballs or Delmonico steak, then I am feeding myself a restaurant out here called Anna Jack Thai. Mm-hmm. Has been James Beard award winning.
Okay.
On the Michelin guide list. It doesn't have a Michelin star yet, but oh, the food is the best Thai food ever. It's
ever.
Insane. Anna Jack Thai.
Okay, and I know how you love Mexican food too. Now, who are you going to listen? It's a new year. It's a new you, right? Who are you going to frolic with?
Who am I going to what?
Frolic with.
Frolic? Oh. You know what? I don't have anybody to frolic with yet, but this year I am going to have somebody to frolic. I'm going to frolic the fuck out of them. Damn
That's
it.
Right. Y'all better get ready. There's all that pent up documentary energy.
You're gonna get the shit frolicked out of you. You
there
just
you
wait.
Go. That's right.
And I'll let you know.
Okay. Listen, I am constantly asking, you know, men who I think are good for you if they're single. Unfortunately.
Oh, okay, good.
And I love that they're honest in saying they're not. You know, that's important.
Yeah, that's like a new
I love that. When they're like no, I'm like, thank you. But who do you want to forgive?
Who do I want to forgive? Oh, there's, you know, there's a girlfriend that has been my girlfriend or was my girlfriend since we were children. And, mm-hmm. She went through a lot of things that changed her personality. Mm-hmm. And that personality changed in a way that I could no longer abide. Because it became very, very toxic. And I had to say goodbye to that friend, which was heartbreaking and really hard. And I forgive all that she did and all that she said and all the machinations behind it. Because, you know, because situationally, that's who she became.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to love her from a distance?
We're going to love her. I do. I love her. I love her child self and my child. I love her like the children we were when we met.
Mm. Who do you want to welcome to your table?
Oh, I mean, it's my besties. It's you. It's like five girlfriends. Turk, obviously, you know, it's probably about seven people, not including my siblings. Of course, mm-hmm. my siblings and my...
They're going to show up and Kaya's going to show up and Christina's going to show up.
Yeah, Christina, they are my core. They are my always forever core.
I love
it. But outside my core of Christina and my siblings and my nieces and nephews and obviously Kaya, it's you, Turk, and like four or five of my girlfriends.
I love it. All right.
Under 15, yeah.
I love you so much, Eva LaRue. I'm so glad that in this life we get to call each other friends. I don't know about our past life or our future life, what it's going to be or what it was, but I know right now and right here, I love you with all my heart.
There was some connection.
We have a beautiful karmic connection, but I'm so glad you joined me at my table.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
You would be at every table in every lifetime for me.
I love it. And likewise, I love you so much. And I love that you've seen the journey, my journey, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen yours. And, you know, that's what's beautiful about our friendship is that we've seen our dreams come true. We've seen our dreams shatter. We've seen our dreams almost not happen.
Stops and starts. Yep. All the work that it took to get here and for you to get there.
For both
and
of
how
us.
Much more it means because you got to the top of that hill.
Because we do the work.
How much trudging up that damn hill, yeah. And how many times we rolled backwards. And
you know, there's a beautiful saying, and I love this saying so much. And it goes, it wasn't easy, but it was worth it.
But it was worth it.
All right, Eva LaRue, we got to wrap this up because I'm getting the spin around. So how can people follow you? You're at, what's your IG?
At Eva LaRue on Instagram. And
perfect.
At Eva LaRue
documentary.
On TikTok. But at Eva LaRue.
Tell us the documentary, the title, and where we find it, the documentary.
Oh, the documentary is on Paramount Plus. It's called My Nightmare Stalker, The Eva LaRue Story, Paramount Plus, right now.
Right now. Tune in. Love you all for tuning in to Welcome to My Table with Max Tucci. And listen, welcome people to your table because you never know the stories you're going to have until you have them. Till next time, I love you. Peace. Bye, Eva LaRue.